When you were a kid, making friends was a little easier than it is now.
Can you be my friend?
It was. Step one, be within a 14-foot radius of another kid. Step two, done. But now you're a full-grown person. All your friends have moved away, or you have, to pursue a career. Or, for whatever reason, you have no friends, which is precisely the case for Samantha here.
Whoa, wait, I do have some
friends. See? No friends.
No, I do.
Let's get started. Doing stuff you're into is a surefire way to meet people you already have things in common with. Though it can be scary for some of us, especially Samantha, who gets super sweaty when she's nervous. It's pretty gross, actually.
Actually, I'm doing pretty good right now.
You'll be fine. Just don't think about how awkward you're going to be, or the fact that everyone is staring at you because you've been standing in the doorway talking to a voice in your head. You might not hit it off with everyone you talk to, but trying is the only way to find someone you do connect with.
Oh my gosh, I love that. I actually have a friend who's really good at painting turtles too.
It's not a turtle.
Just remember to play it by ear. You don't want to move too fast.
I like you. Let's be friends.
But don't play it too cool either.
We should hang out sometime.
Yeah, maybe when my schedule clears up.
Basically, just be yourself. Making new friends can be intimidating, but what's on the other side is worth the effort. Just remember that friendships aren't found, they're formed. So be patient, present, and the kind of friend you want to have. So good job, Samantha. You did it. I hope this helps. And if you want to add your own steps or swap out some of mine, that's totally fine. Just know that you're going to mess it all up and it won't work.
Well, it is good to be home. Shelly and I have been gone the last 2 weekends because we actually traveled literally around the world, and we spent a week in Thailand with our missionaries, Brandon and Rachel Powell, and it was amazing. And the reason why we were there was we were doing a scouting trip so that we can take a team from Focus Church on a short-term missions trip in 2024 to Thailand. Who would be interested in going to Thailand? It's awesome. It's really cool. But it turns out that while we were there and as we met one of the pastors, one of the local pastors there, they are working on a special youth camp taking place in April that they said, please, will Focus Church send some people to help us out? You see, one of the open doors that they have found to help reach teenagers in Thailand is to teach English. And so they've put together a camp where they're inviting kids to learn English for several days as they do all sorts of fun camp-type activities. It turns out April is their summer in Thailand. And as they're teaching them English, what they're using to teach them English is God's word, that they're teaching them what God has done for them and why Jesus came to this planet, which is amazing. And they said, if we could have a group from America, we believe that we'll pack out the camp because everyone wants to learn American English. And so we say, you know what? We will ask. But let me tell you what. When you plan an overseas trip, it takes a long time to plan it, to raise the funds, to do it. And we're going to try to do this in a short amount of time so we can make this happen because it's only 7 months away. And so we're going to have details very soon about what's involved, what kind of requirements are involved with this. And if you are thinking right now, wow, this interests me, then right away you have to get a passport. If you don't have one, you got to apply for it because it takes time to get one. You want to expedite it. If your passport is expiring in the next year, you have to get it renewed. And so if you're thinking that this may be a possibility for you, you need to take care of it like starting tomorrow. Like, get this done. Well, we're excited to do a team. We're actually going to have several missions trips over the next 18 months that we are planning. And so you'll hear about other opportunities as well. But this one's going to come up even faster than we thought. It's going to be amazing. So excited for missions here at Focus Church. For the next few moments, we're going to focus on God's word for us today. You see, we're in the fourth and final week of this series called Asking for a Friend. You see, we were designed by God not to travel around this planet by ourselves, but really, we were meant to have friends. Even when it comes with our relationship with God, we were not meant to follow God alone. You see, we were meant to follow God with other people. And so through this series, we've been looking at what does the Bible say on how to make friends or how to be a good friend? You know, it said that show me your friends and I'll predict your future. But this is actually a statement that's rooted in God's word. It's found in Proverbs chapter 13. It says, walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get in trouble. Today, we're looking to ask and hopefully answer this question. Is there a level of friendship beyond being a best friend or a BFF? Now, if you came today looking for hope, peace, purpose, for focus to your life, then I've got some good news for you. There is hope found in Jesus. And today, at the end of this message, we're going to give you the opportunity to receive that hope. I'd like for you to grab your Bible app and open it up with me and turn to Proverbs chapter 18. Now, normally, when we read out of God's Word and look at it on our Bible app, we use the NLT, or the New Living Translation. But today, I'm going to up it a level and say, you got to change the translation by going to the top, going to the scroll down menu, and change it to MSG, or Message Translation. It's what we're going to be reading from today. Now, when you came in today, you should have received some notes where you can follow along with today's message. Inside here, there's some blanks where the answers will be up on the screen as we go, and we encourage you to take a look at this. There's also lots of information on how to connect here and what's going on at Focus Church. Now, I'm so thankful that we are able to have people watching online with us live right now, and we're so glad that you're watching with us. We want to know who is watching with us, and if you wouldn't mind taking a moment right now, in the comments below, would you just write who you are and maybe where you're watching from? We have online hosts who are watching with you, and they would love to connect with you. We're glad you're here. And speaking about our online stream, in this last few weeks, we've actually started something we haven't done before. And we want to make sure everybody knows about that, that now we live stream all three weekend services. So Saturday and Sunday morning services. So if you ever find it where you can't make it to church or you're not going to be in town, you can always watch us online live on both Saturday night and the two Sunday morning services. So Proverbs chapter 18, Message Translation. We're reading verse 24. And here's what it says. Friends come and friends go, but a true friend sticks by you like family. Let's pray. God, I pray that as we unpack your word for us today, as we wrap up this series on asking for a friend, God, I pray that you would speak to us, that you would challenge us, and that we would change. In Jesus' name we all said, amen. I'm not originally from Wisconsin, neither is my family. And actually, I was born in New Jersey, in a town that's actually kind of right across the river from New York City. And it turns out that my parents lived there. They were born there, and they lived there their entire lives. They got married there. They had me. And then my dad volunteered to join the military. And the very first spot they transferred our family that has always lived in one town forever is they sent us to the Deep South. To the Florida-Georgia line, literally. Now talk about culture shock, talk about change, talk about being apart from your family. It was weird, it was strange, it was alone, it was lonely. But in the next few years, a coworker of my dad's, he talked to him about Jesus. And eventually my dad said yes to God and made him the leader of his life. My mom said yes to God, made him the leader of her life, and they began going to church, and they took me along, and I was about two or three at the time going to church, and it was by attending a church that we discovered something about God's design for us that we never knew existed. Here's what we discovered, that we, as a family with no family, can have a family that God provides, his family. You see, at that church, there was a couple, an older couple who was retired, who saw my mom and dad and saw me and eventually my younger brother. They saw us and they're like, hey, we want to invite you over for lunch or for dinner. And we just started hanging out with them and doing things with them. And they loved us. And what was really interesting is they treated us like family, even though we weren't related to them. And even though our family was 1,000 miles away, it felt like we were home. You see, even when we moved away from South Georgia and the military took us to other places, we still visited Homer and Virginia Miller. As a matter of fact, they became so close that my brothers and I referred to them as Grandma and Grandpa. It's who we knew. That even though we were far from family, God provided us with the family. Even though we were not related through Jesus, we were related. Now, we've been talking about friendship in this series, and I want to just give you kind of a quick recap of what the levels of friendship are. You see, there's multiple levels of friendship on how close you are to somebody, and at the very bottom, is when you don't actually know anyone. You have no friends. It's like you're sitting there in your best Eeyore voice, and you go,
I'm all alone. I've got no one.
We know no one. We have no friends. And yet, then, there are some people in our lives that we know their names. They might know our names. We might see them in passing. They might be a coworker or a neighbor, but we like to think of it as friends, and Facebook tries to tell us that they are friends. Instagram calls them followers. But really what they are at this level, acquaintances. You know of them, but you don't know them. Which brings us to our next level of friendship. And at this level of friendship is when you actually have friends. You actually have people that you do something with. And that's really what marks a friend. Do you have common interests that you do together? That you hang out together? That there's always something going on? And we enjoy being with other people. These are our friends. But every so once in a while in our lives, that as we hang out with friends, as we do something with friends, there comes a special someone who's even closer to us. We become best friends. It's like we were meant for each other. It's like that we ask ourselves, where have they been all our lives? It's like the other half of you, the completement of you. And sometimes when we think about our best friends, we say, this has got to last forever. BFFs, right? And for some, that seems to be the crowning achievement of friends, the highest level of friendship. But let me tell you that as God has designed us to have friends, there is one level higher than having a best friend. You see, friends can become family. But wait, Pastor Ryan, you don't know my family. And if I have friends who are like my family, then I don't need any friends, right? But see, when the Bible, when the scriptures talk about friends who stick closer like family, what it's referring to is the way family is meant to be, the way God designed family to be. So what does that even look like? Many years ago, I was a part of a church, a very large church in a community in the Midwest, and this church did an annual event for the whole community. They put on the 4th of July celebration. Like, all throughout the day, there was carnivals, there was rides, there was live music and events happening, and at the night, it finished with a gigantic fireworks show. Now, in the particular year that I was there on staff, they thought, you know what would be really cool? If we invited some military guys to come in and parachute in the middle of the event. And so they asked around, and you know who they got? They got some Navy SEALs to come. Navy SEALs to parachute in the middle of the event and bring the American flag, and it was gonna be great. But then someone found out that they're gonna show up a day early because they needed to be there a day early to kind of test the wind conditions and see what the environment's like, and it's all the safety stuff for parachuting in for an event like this. And so someone on our team had this great idea, saying, okay, if the Navy SEALs are there a day early, how about all the pastors at our church challenge the Navy SEALs to a game of paintball? I don't think they thought this one out. I mean, it sounded cool to go play paintball with Navy SEALs, right? No. Actually, by the time we were actually supposed to start the event, the day that we were doing the paintball, someone came to their senses. They said, well, that's not going to be fair just a little bit, right? And so here's what they did. They divided the Navy SEALs in half. They divided the pastors in half. And so the teams were even. Half Navy SEALs, half pastors. Going against half Navy SEALs, half pastors. Okay, we can do this. And so I remember being on my team, and there's some Navy SEALs on my team, and the Navy SEALs began speaking a whole other language. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to do that. I'm like, okay. Like, I didn't understand, like, how we were going to go invade the space and take out all the other guys and win, right? They're giving the whole battle plan and everything, and I thought I knew some military stuff, but they were just a whole other level. And they looked at me, and they're like, do you got it? And I'm like, uh-uh. And so what they did is they looked at me. All I need you to do is stick with me. I'm like, okay. And so the horn blew. It was time to start the paintball. And in a paintball arena, they have all these blow-up things that you hide behind, and you got to advance to the other side. Each team is on either side. And As soon as the horn blew, paint was flying every which way, and all I could do was, ah! I was ducked behind the balloon. The Navy SEAL I was supposed to stick with, he's gone. I'm like, oh, I do not want to be hit by one of these paintballs. I'm pretty sure it's going to hurt really bad. And for what seemed like forever, I was alone. And then the Navy SEAL who said, stick with me, came back for me. And he came up to me as I was huddled up in a ball behind the blow-up thing. And he's like, hey, I said stick with me. And I'm like, And he did something that I never would have imagined could happen. I don't know how he did this, but I could. Let me just say what he did. In one hand, he's got a paintball gun. And in the other hand, he grabs the back of my shirt, somehow lifts me up off the ground, and he begins to run from state to state and killing other guys and carrying me with them all the way to the end. We win. All because of me. Yeah, right. In spite of me, right? You see, the Navy SEALs had some sort of idea stuck in their head that they shouldn't leave a man behind. And they didn't leave me behind. You see, they said it was important to stick with me. In the Bible, there's a story, whole book dedicated to this one story, which is going to become your homework to read the book of Ruth. I want you to read the book of Ruth. Don't do it now. Do it later. Read the book of Ruth. But in Ruth chapter 1, it describes a family. There's a family. There's a husband. There's a wife and two sons. And they live in Israel. And during that time, there's a big famine and no crops can grow. So there's no food. There's nothing at the grocery store. And so they decide to leave to go to another country that they hear has some food. And so they travel there to this foreign country to live there so they can have food. And while they're there, the two boys grow up and it's time to get married. And so they marry some local girls. Now, I don't know what happened in this country. I guess there was some sort of weird pandemic that only affected men and not women. Because here's what the Bible says happened next. That all of a sudden the dad died, which just left the mom, whose name was Naomi. And then all of a sudden, the two boys, who were men, who were married, also died. Boom. Wow. So just like that, all the guys were gone. And it was just the mother-in-law and the daughter-in-law. So they're like, what do we do now? And so Naomi, the mother-in-law, she says, you know what? I heard that crops are now growing in my home country. I think I'll travel back there. Let's go back to my home country. And the daughters are like, sounds good. Let's go. Road trip, right? And so they begin traveling back, and Naomi comes to her senses, and she realizes, wait a second, why are these girls going with me? Because my sons have died, they're no longer related to me. There's no obligation to me. They really shouldn't come. And so she begins questioning and stops them on the trip and says, why are you with me? You shouldn't be with me. I mean, I'm going to have a hard enough time maybe finding a new husband because I'm older, and it might be difficult. And if I was ever to have any more children, would you really wait forever for them to become your new husband? So it's impossible for us to be related anymore. So why don't you go back home and go back and live your own life? Well, one of the daughters-in-law was like, you know what? I like that. Peace out. I'm done. And so one leaves and goes home. The other one, her name was Ruth. And Ruth is like, I like you. I'm going to stick with you. As a matter of fact, her response was something that sounded a little like this. And it says, hey, don't ask me to leave you and to turn back. Wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you live, I will live. Your people, they're going to become my people. And your God is going to become my God. You see, friends who become family stick together no matter what. Now, another example of a friend that becomes family is recorded in Acts chapter 9. And it deals with the guy who freshly becomes a follower of Jesus. His name is Saul. He has a dramatic experience. He turns from what he was doing. He says, God, I'm making you the leader of my life. And so then he goes to where there's other people who follow Jesus. He's like, hey, guys, I'm just like you. Will you include me in? Because I'm now following Jesus too. And everyone's like, we don't want nothing to do with you. Well, let me explain why, because that sounds kind of weird, right? You see, we have to understand who Saul was. See, Saul was a Pharisee based out of Jerusalem. Pharisee was the highest order, the religious sect. and they felt threatened by the people who were turning to Jesus. Now, at the time, they were not known as Christians. They were known as followers of the way. And Saul had taken it upon himself to say, I am wiping out everyone who is a follower of the way. As a matter of fact, I'm going to make it my personal life mission to capture every single one of them, and we're going to torture them, and we're going to execute all of them. And that's what he became known for. As a matter of fact, when he was traveling just earlier to the city of Damascus, he was actually going there with letters in hand authorized him to capture anyone in that city who are followers of the way and to put them in prison and to eventually have them killed. That's what he was going there to do. Instead, though, he has an encounter with Jesus on the road, and he says yes to God and becomes a follower of the way. So you can understand that when he goes to join the group, everyone's like, this is a trick. It's a trap. Star Wars reference. Some of you got that. And they wouldn't listen to him. They wouldn't include them. They would not allow him to be part of their group. Except there was one guy who was a follower of the way. His name was Barnabas. Barnabas was known as the encourager. And Barnabas, he says, you know what? I know who Saul was, but I also believe in what Saul can be. And if he really is turned, you know what? I'm going to stick up for him. I'm going to vouch for him. I believe in him. And Barnabas stuck for him, and Saul was able to join the group, all because Barnabas believed in him. You see, as we can see with Barnabas, friends that become family are friends who believe in you when no one else does. Now, throughout this whole series, we've been talking about what the Bible says about friendship, about having friends, about making friends. That's important, that we shouldn't go about doing life alone. And yet, friends don't happen automatically. I mean, we could want a friend so bad, and yet if we don't do something, it's not going to happen. Like, we have to actively say, I'm going to do things to make friends. I am going to set out to be friends. And as we've learned, there's multiple levels of friendship, and as God has designed it, there's even a highest level of friends who become family. And so if we were going to decide something, if we were going to change our behavior, if there was something we were going to do differently and put it into a statement, it might look something like this, and it's found on the purple box in your notes. And it says this, that I will make friends and become family. Saying, I'm going to do this, that this is God's design for me. I'm not supposed to do this alone. And so now the question is, how can I know that I've reached family status with someone? How can I know? Well, when you're friends with somebody, you can tell exactly what level of friendship you are with them. Now, let me just say this. Okay, I said that we need to have this as a goal, to make friends and become family. And we got to do our part to make friends, and we got to do things with people, and we got to be open, and we got to say hello at some point. We got to initiate things. We got to be open and not just be closed with, this is all I know and this is who I know. But in order to go to the family level, we're going to have to do a little extra. We have to invest a little bit more. Now, there are people in this church who I think God has picked for you to be friends with. Now, you might not end up being friends with every single person. You might not end up being family with every single person that's a part of the Focus family. But let me say, there should be someone. There should be someone. You don't know, but even in this room right now, your next best friend could be here. Your next family person could be in this room right now, and you don't even know it unless you take a step forward. So how can we tell where we are at in friendship level with the people that we know? Let me tell you, there's an easy way to figure it out, and it has to do with going over to that person's house. For instance, if that person never invites you to their house, let me tell you, you're not their friend. Okay, just easy. If you never get invited over to their house, you're not friends. Maybe acquaintances, but you're not friends. Facebook friends at best, but you're not friends. But let's say this. If you're gonna go over to someone's house and an appointment is required, meaning let's set a time and a date, we're gonna come over to my house, and if there's lots of cleaning involved, for you to show up at their house. Let me just say, you're at the base level of friends, okay? But to realize that you've gone up a level in friendship may mean that you no longer need an appointment to go over to their house. Like, you can show up at any time, and it doesn't matter how clean the house is. It's like, okay, it's just you. You can come in. You know, that's how you know you've reached up a level. Like, yeah, you're really friends. You're friends. You can come over anytime. You're welcome here at any time. Maybe even at some point they give you access or the code to their house or something, you know, like, just come on over. And there's people who say that to really tell if you're a best friend with somebody, that you're really, really good friends with someone, it's not just you can come over at any time. It's not just that you can get into the house. It's whether or not you have access to the fridge. Do you have fridge access? Meaning, can I walk over and just open your fridge and help myself to anything inside of it? That's where you've reached, like, whoa, we are friends. But today, we've been saying that there's a whole nother level above that, that God's designed it, that it's possible for friends to become family, and that's His design for us. That when we don't have family, we do have a family, and it's His family. Even though we're not related, we are related through Jesus and following Him. So how do we know? What does that look like when we go over to someone's house and we've reached a family level? Well, we show up unannounced and the person says, oh, great, I'm so glad you're here. And they put you to work cleaning the house because someone else is coming over. Then you know you're family. Oh, and you got to do chores, you know. In Matthew chapter 12, the Bible describes that there's a moment where Jesus is in a room kind of like this, and He's teaching people all about God, and lots of people came in to hear Him speak, to maybe hear Him pray, to hear maybe hear see Him do a miracle or something, heal somebody. And while He's there and while He's speaking, and you know what? While you're doing homework, why don't you just add this on too? I mean, the kids are back in school. They're doing homework, so you can do homework too. So you're reading the book of Ruth, but I also wanted you to read this chapter here, this chapter, Matthew chapter 12. So write it down, homework. So Jesus is teaching, and all of a sudden, His mom shows up with His brothers and sisters. They show up, and they come to the outside of the meeting place while the service is going on, while Jesus is up and He's talking. I mean, this is like the equivalent of my mom showing up from California and staying outside and say, hey, Pastor Aubrey, go get Pastor Ryan. We're here to meet with him. That's what Mary did. Jesus' mom said, hey, I don't care what Jesus is doing. His mom and his brothers or sisters are here to meet with him. He needs to stop what he's doing. He needs to come outside. He needs to talk to us. She was telling one of the disciples, you better go in there. You stop whatever he's doing. You go tell him this message. And can you imagine being that disciple, like, goop? Like, I got to go interrupt Jesus, but who do I listen to? Jesus or his mom, the mom of Jesus, right? And so he sheepishly comes in and he stops Jesus with doing it. Sir, I'm so sorry to interrupt you, but your mom is here with your brothers and sisters, and they like want you to stop what you're doing and go outside and go talk to them. See, in this moment, his mom, his brothers and sisters were exercising their right as relatives, saying, ha ha, Jesus is famous, so that makes us famous by relation, right? That we're somebody, he's somebody, we're somebody because we're related to him, because we're his family. But in that moment, Jesus uses that moment and he uses that situation to open up everyone's minds and eyes to something totally different. Part of his plan for all of us and how we relate to each other and who's important. Because here's what Jesus says. He answered the disciples while saying it to everyone in the room. He says, who is my mother? And who are my brothers and sisters? And then he pointed to everyone in the room and even the people who are watching on the live stream. He pointed to them. He said, you guys. He pointed at them and said, these are my mothers. These are my brothers. These are my sisters. And then he qualifies it. He says, anyone who obeys my Father in heaven is my brother, is my sister, or is my mother. You see, it was Jesus' plan that we would be a family even though we're not related. That we were just as important as the related family who are standing outside. This is God's plan for us. This is God's plan for you and for me. You see, even though I grew up nowhere near family, God provided me a family, His family. And even all these years later, it was never part of our plan to come to Wisconsin 7 years ago. We'd never been up here. We know no one. And the decision to say yes to God to come be here and to pastor this church was also a decision to say we're not going to be around our family. That our family, the closest family member we have to us, is a 10-hour drive away. And yet, God's provided us with a family. This family. And He's even provided people within this family who have become really close. You see, when we talk about this church being the focus family, we're not using that word flippantly. We're talking about God's design for us. You know, if you were having Thanksgiving dinner and you were expecting grandma to show up at a certain time and grandma didn't show up, would you say, oh, well? No, you would think, you know what? Something must be wrong. Let's call grandma. Let's make sure she's okay, that she's not off in a ditch somewhere, you know, like, and no one knows where she's at. And you know, when we check up on you and we say, hey, we've missed you. Hey, are you okay? We notice you haven't been around. It's not because we're, you know, being weird. It's because we care, because you're part of the family. You know, in our family, we have a tradition that says when one of our members have a birthday, then how we celebrate that birthday is we all go out to eat together as a family, and whoever it is their birthday, they get to pick what restaurant they go to. And so just recently this month, our daughter had her 17th birthday. It was her birthday day, and it was time to go out. We asked her, where are we all going? That's where we're going as a family. She said, oh, I know exactly where we're going. We're going to Texas Roadhouse. I'm getting rolls. Okay? If you know, you know. Okay? And she's like, so how many of this are there going to be? You see, we have 7 people in our family. I said, oh, there's going to be 8 of us. And she's doing the math. And she's like, Dad, that math doesn't add up because there's 7 of us and my brother is off in Minnesota in college. That means there's only 6 of us. That means who are the extra 2 people who are going to our family dinner for my birthday? And I responded by telling her, I said, oh, well, your aunt and uncle are joining us as well. And she's like, oh, okay, cool. Can't wait. And then I stopped her. I said, do you understand what I meant by your aunt and uncle? And she's like, oh yeah, you're just talking about Mandy and Dustin. And that was true, because they are friends who have become family to us. And my kids know that. That even though my kids are far from home, it doesn't mean they don't have family. Ruth, she made a decision to stick with Naomi, even though she didn't have to. She was a friend who became family. And what's really cool is that we find recorded later on in the Bible in Matthew chapter 1, it lists the whole lineage of Jesus, every ancestor in Jesus's family line. And if you were to read through it, do you know what you would discover? That Ruth is included in Jesus's family line. That her decision to stick with Naomi actually made it possible that she didn't just become part of Naomi's family, but God literally made her a part of Jesus' family, which is really cool. And then when it came to Saul, his past was not held against him because it was all about his future as a part of the family. You see, Saul would become Paul. He'd become one of the greatest missionaries ever, and he wrote over half of the New Testament. You see, God had plans for Saul when it came to being a part of his family. And let me tell you, God has plans for you. So, make it your goal. Make it your plan. Make it your mission to make friends and to become family. You see, friends come and friends go. But there is a friend who sticks like family. I'm going to invite you to bow your heads as we spend a moment talking to God about his design for our friendship. So God, we are so thankful today that you did not design us to follow you alone, but rather we are supposed to do it with other people, that you have designed us to be friends with people, to actually have people in our lives that we walk through life every day with, who encourage us, who believe in us, who stick with us no matter what, even when they don't have to. And God, we say thank you for that. God, I know that there are people here in this room and people who are watching online who are far from family. And they know exactly what I've been talking about today in regards to not having anyone close by. And that can feel like the loneliest place, but God, we know there's hope found in you. And even in this area of loneliness, that you can provide a family when we don't have a family. That you can provide friends in our lives that we can't even imagine not having life with. And God, I pray right now that if there's anyone who's either in this room or watching online who say, wow, I really need a friend. God, I pray that you would help them. That you would give them the courage and the initiative to step out, to be friendly, to be there for other people, to talk with someone, to do something, to take the effort to be friendly to other people, to make friends and to become family. So God, help us to follow your plan for us in making friends and become family. We love you, God, and we thank you. In Jesus' name. And while our heads are still bowed, our eyes still closed, I'm reminded that just a few moments ago, we said, if you came today looking for hope, that hope is found in Jesus, and we give you the opportunity to receive that hope here at the end, and here we are. God loves you so much that he wanted you to be a part of his family. But because of the original sin from Adam and Eve, all human beings are doomed to death. They're doomed to be evil. They're doomed to spend all of eternity in hell apart from God. Unless a way is made. You see, there's nothing that we can do about it. There's nothing that we can do to earn our redemption. Nothing we can do to gain forgiveness. But God wanted to be in a relationship with you so bad that he made a way when there wasn't way. And the way included sending his son to this planet, Jesus. He didn't send Jesus to start a movement. He didn't send Jesus to be a good teacher. He didn't send him to be a good person or a role model. No, he sent him on a mission. You see, the Bible describes that unless blood is shed, there's no payment for sin. And so your sin and my sin was paid by Jesus on the cross when he died. That he wasn't paying for his own sin. He lived a perfect life. He did it because he loved you and he loved me. The Bible says that greater love has no person than one who lays down their life for a friend. And that's exactly what Jesus did for you and me. You see, because Jesus died and rose again, it's possible for us to be forgiven. It's possible for us to be set free. It's possible for us to become a part of God's family. But it doesn't happen automatically. This gift that's free for you and me, we've got to receive it. We've got to do something to get it. And you say, Pastor, what do I got to do? I need this hope that you're talking about. Well, the Bible describes there's two parts to this. One, where we need to have a conversation with God. We call it prayer. And in this conversation, we got to recognize that we're not worthy, to say we're sorry. Secondly, we got to believe that God did love us and he did send Jesus and Jesus did die for us and that what he did, we're claiming it, that he did it for me. And lastly, we go all in. We say, God, I give you all of me. I make you the leader or the boss of my life. But the next step after that deals with being a part of God's family. You see, that prayer, that conversation, it's something that is between you and God, something that you do. But it's not very public.
But God made a way for us to go public with our faith and following Jesus' own example and getting water baptized. You see, when someone gets water baptized, they're showing everybody who's watching what's already happened on the inside, what's already taken place, that prayer, that conversation, that decision to say, God, I'm making you the leader of my life. So when someone gets baptized, we celebrate that. And we say, here's another one added to our family that we're going to encourage, that we're going to stick together with, that we're going to believe in. See, you were not meant to follow God alone. Just because we follow God doesn't mean it's going to be perfect. Just doesn't mean that it's going to be butterflies and rainbows as a life. Still going to be tough, if not even tougher. But we have hope. Hope that is found in Jesus. We have purpose for our life, and we have a mission, something we're supposed to be doing on this planet until we get to one day spend eternity with God in heaven. And by now you're saying, Pastor, I want what you're talking about. So I want to help you with this. So I'm going to help you with this prayer, this conversation with God. I'm going to say this prayer in bite-sized pieces out loud. I'm going to encourage you to say this prayer repeating after me out loud. The Bible says it's with our hearts that we believe, and it's with our mouth we say it out loud, that we confess that God's in charge, that He is the Lord of all. But don't worry, you're not praying alone, because I'm asking the entire Focus family to pray with us. See, no one prays alone here. We're a family. This is the most important thing that we do. Focus Church is focused on helping people find God's place in their life. And so, let's pray this prayer right now together. Say, Dear God, I'm sorry for the sin of my life. I need you. I believe you love me so much, you sent your son Jesus to pay the price for me. I want to live for you with you in charge. Give me hope. Give me freedom. Bring focus to my life. In Jesus' name. Amen.